And welcome to Devour the 80s, an 80s theme horror movie podcast with your hosts, the Dummies of Horror. All you radical dudes and dudettes, this is Devour the 80s, the show in which me and my wife devour all 80s horror, and I mean all of it. Why, you ask? To find out which year is the best. We will be watching every single little piece of horror content that we can get our grubby little hands on, starting with the year 1980, and this episode is going to be bodacious. I'm your host, Tim Davis, and with me is the sassy southern belle from hell, Jaleesa.
Hey, everyone.
Yes. So here we are with yet another spin-off, but this one we are dedicated to. Now, if you listen to our decades of horror on the main show, I don't want to spoil anything, but the winning decade that we decided won was... the 80s. I couldn't say it without spoiling it. Was the 80s. Spoiler for our latest episode. And what I wanted to do is basically watch everything from the 80s. And I wanted to try and pinpoint which is the best year of the best decade. And at first it was a little idea. I thought that'd be cool. And then I got heavily into it. And I'm like, I have to watch every 80s horror film that I can find, that I can, and like some of these I assume are going to be tough to find, and that's cool. I have my ways, as we all do, but we are going to try and watch every single 80s content out there. And the cool thing is, my wife was like, oh, I want to have a turn, and she wanted to watch these movies with me because she also agrees that the 80s is the best decade. So she's coming along with the ride. And we thought, why don't we just make this our own fucking show? Just me and the wife here, Jelly. Mushroom may pop on randomly if he wants to. Probably not. But if he wants to, he's more than welcome. But what this show is, basically, is we're going to be watching these 80s films. And every 2 weeks, we're going to come up with a new episode and talk about the films we watched. And who knows? We can come across, and I'm hoping so, we can come across a hidden gem that we've never seen before. That's the hope. Actually, I've got one for this episode. And just give you a real in-depth of all 80s horror. Now, you have a choice here. You can go and watch In Search of Darkness, which is on Shudder right now, which basically covers most of 80s horror. Or you can follow us here on Devour the 80s and listen to every horror film. And this podcast will probably be going on for the next 10 years because it's going to take us that long to dive into every single horror film from 1980 all the way to 1989. So yeah, that's what the show is. It's going to be a ball of fun. I'm excited. We're starting off with the year 1980 and we're just getting straight into it. So, me and the wife, Jaleesa, we watched how many?
Three, I think.
We watched three. I watched a separate one, but I'll go into that in more detail. But we're going to start off this show with a movie that we watched literally last night. And the movie is called Mother's Day.
Somewhere in the woods of Deep Barren, a woman and her sons live in isolation. When they come out, It's for one reason only.
Now let's see what you brought, Mother.
Some say she spoiled her boys. Some say she drove them mad. No one who found out has lived to tell.
So Mother's Day, the story is really just your basic rape revenge movie.
Mm-hmm.
You have these girls who were three girls who are going out camping for the weekend, and they come across two guys who basically kidnap them and take them back to their house where their mother is living with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your run-of-the-mill rape revenge movie. Does that sum it up?
Kinda, yeah.
Pretty much.
Just messed up family dynamic.
Yeah, basically. Now, what struck me about this movie is going in, I knew nothing about it. And Jaleesa will tell you as well, as soon as it came up, the words Lloyd Kaufman hit the screen. And I was like, oh, shit. And then the next thing came up, said Troma. And I'm like, God damn it. And Jaleesa looked at me and she says, what? Now, Troma, for the people that don't know, like Jaleesa, you had no idea what Troma was, did you?
No.
No. So Troma is a production company, kind of started roughly in the 80s, worked their way up to the 90s, and they're still going to this day. Their films have a certain taste to them.
Mm-hmm.
And a certain feel to them. They're low budget. They're over the top ridiculous. Yep. Is probably the best thing I can describe it with. And I'm not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched a few Troma films here and there. The only one I like is The Toxic Avenger. But every other one I've seen, I'm just not a fan of. I just can't get into it.
Why? Because it's too over the top?
It's too stupid.
Okay.
To be honest. And I get it. It has its fans out there. It does.
Yeah.
I'm just not one of them. But in saying that, I haven't seen every single Troma film. Mm-hmm. So, and because we're doing the 80s, we're going to be watching a lot of Troma films. So you'll soon realize why I didn't like Troma. Because yeah. I feel like you'll be in the same camp.
Okay. Well, now I'm intrigued to know.
Yeah, we'll get there soon. Don't you worry. But as we're watching the movie, I said to you, Jill, that this doesn't feel like a Troma movie.
Mm.
The reason being, I did some digging. The reason being is because this was directed by Lloyd Kaufman's brother, who his name is escaping me right now. It was not a Troma movie.
Oh, okay. They just, did it under there?
Well, the story is that Lloyd Kaufman's brother, and it's going to annoy me now. I have to search it up. His brother basically produced this movie under a different production company. And then that production company went bankrupt. So Troma took over the distribution rights.
Yeah.
And put money into distribution.
Okay.
Basically making the copies and all that stuff. So that's why it said Troma on it. His name is Charles Kaufman.
Yep.
That's his brother's name.
Okay.
So it's not your typical Troma movie, which was a plus for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it says Troma all over it. It's not a Troma production. It's a Troma distribution, if that makes any sense.
So they didn't make it. They just helped boost it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So, Mother's Day, this was both our first time watch, mm-hmm. you and me, coming obviously from 1980. I'm just going to say it straight out. I'm not a fan of rape revenge movies.
Why?
I'm not shy of watching a rape scene on film.
Mm-hmm.
I just find them boring.
Really?
They're all the same. They're exactly the same. I Spit in Your Grave, Last House on the Left. Even Revenge,
yeah.
A movie that came out like in a few years ago. All rape revenge movies are the same.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off with a girl and a guy. And then the rape happens. And then the girl gets revenge.
Yeah.
End of story. I'm like, it's boring to me.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, like, I watch movies to be enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I watch movies to escape. I don't want to see rape.
Yeah.
I don't care to see rape. If rape is meaningful on film, like a Serbian film.
Ew. Don't even mention that movie around me.
I will accept it. But I don't understand why these movies have meaning and why they exist. I get it. It's women empowerment.
Mm.
And that's really it. But I don't enjoy them.
Yeah.
So how did you like Mother's Day?
I actually didn't mind this one. It was actually all right.
Which shocks me because you fucking hate rape scenes.
I do. This one didn't actually make me cringe too bad.
Maybe
because the whole... Because it wasn't fully shot up close and like full personal, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It was shot from like a distance, like through the eyes of someone else looking out a window.
So if rape is shot up close...
It's more confronting when it's like full, like you full see their face and stuff like that, while you didn't really see it in this one. Just the whole, I think the whole weird family dynamic there took me out as well, thinking that's just weird.
Yeah, I this one comes off a bit of a comedy at times as well.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's why it wasn't as impactful for you.
It's how they, yeah, worked up to it too.
Yeah.
Like the, yeah.
Yeah.
Role playing.
So when you say you didn't mind this one,
mm-hmm.
would you rewatch it? Because that's the biggest question here with 80s horror.
Yeah, I would.
Really?
Yeah, I think I would.
See, you like this more than me then.
Yeah, I found it fine.
I found this movie middle of the road.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's the best.
No.
But it's not the worst.
We'll talk about a movie that you didn't like in a second.
And that has another similar thing.
Kind of, but it's... We'll get to that later. I would rather watch that movie again than this movie.
Oh, see, I'm opposite.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We'll get to that movie in a second. But for me, I don't know, man. This movie didn't... I didn't care for it. I didn't find the antagonists... interesting.
Mm.
I didn't find them funny. I thought they were stupid.
They were supposed to come off stupid because they're like not grown up boys.
Yeah, no, I get that, but like I found them stupid in like the worst way. Saying
so, not entertaining, stupid.
Yeah, yeah. I did enjoy the girls here, the victims, if you will.
Yeah,
I thought that they were I was rooting for them.
Yeah.
Which is what you're meant to do that with these types of movies, but I was really rooting for them, and I quite honestly wanted them to kill these rapists more than what they did.
Okay.
And that's another thing I had with this movie. When you watch a rape revenge movie, you want the revenge to be absolutely visceral.
Oh, there was one that was good. The second brother. With the fucking carving...
You didn't see it, though.
Yeah, you didn't see it, but that one was more satisfying than the others because she just kept going.
I get that, but I want to see it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Off-screen kills are the fucking worst.
Yeah.
Unless, I mean, most of them are for budget reasons, but...
You got to see the aftermath.
Yeah, show me. Show me stab someone in the face. I want to see that. I didn't find any of this really impactful at all. The kills, the rape even, the revenge, nothing. I honestly appreciated this movie.
Yeah.
But I would never go back to it.
Okay.
It's on the lower end of my list at the moment.
Fair enough.
But I got a little bit of trivia here for the movie that was interesting to me. So the house used in this film was an actual house in the woods of Newton, New Jersey, and no one had lived there for 15 years prior to filming because the previous owner of the home was murdered there.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So was all the graffiti on the walls previous?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool then.
Yeah. This also comes from IMDb, and I'm reading this quote as it's presented on IMDb. Prior to filming, a dead body was found in the house used in the film. I don't know what that means. I'll repeat it again. This is exactly how it's worded. Prior to filming, a dead body was found in the house used in the film. There is no comma there or anything. So I did some digging on Google to try and see if they used a real dead body in this movie. I found nothing. So I'm just going to go ahead and say they found a dead body in this house when they were location scouting.
Yeah.
And that's it. They got rid of the dead body.
Then they say they used in the movie.
Yeah, it says used in the film, but I don't know.
Wouldn't be that one hanging that's on the door. That's
pretty morbid if they did. I mean, it's obviously happened before, but
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because other than that, I didn't see any others. It was just that.
No. Unless it's a deleted scene. Who knows?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Charles Kaufman, in the director's commentary on the Blu-ray, said that a very ironic thing happened during filming. An actress who played one of the victims and one of the actors who played a son hit it off and started dating when not filming. Even though his character terrorizes and brutalizes her, concerned that neither would be able to project the sense of terror needed, Kaufman asked them to postpone their relationship until after the film wrapped. They complied.
Oh, okay.
And I did hear that it was the bigger son, the one with the weird gums.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know which girl.
Ah, see, I would have thought the ones that did that scene.
Yeah.
From that description.
Yeah. So, who knows? Anyway, what would you give Mother's Day out of 10?
Probably a 5.5, maybe.
So, a 5.5 is like a middle of the road. You said you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I still enjoyed it. Doesn't mean it was the best.
Okay. All right, that's fine. I'm giving it a 5, a straight 5.
Okay.
And that's me being generous.
Okay.
To be brutally honest, man. It just wasn't for me. And that's the best thing I can give a movie.
Yep.
I don't think it's one of the best of the 1980s.
Okay. Yep.
And it won't be in my top 10. So I'm going to talk about another thing that I watched without Jaleesa. And this is a episode of a TV series that came out in the 80s called Hammer House of Horror, the TV series. And I watched an episode called Rude Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea what Hammer Horror is, do you?
I've heard of it before.
Okay, so Hammer Horror is basically like a production company that was set in UK, Britain area.
Yeah.
And they produced a lot of movies. They're still going to this day.
Mm-hmm.
But back in like the 70s mainly, they produced a lot of movies, mainly around the Universal monster creatures, Frankenstein, Dracula, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Hammer House of Horror TV series is a British horror anthology television series that I had no idea existed until exploring the 80s. Produced in Britain in 1980, created by Hammer Films in association with Cinema Arts International and ITC Entertainment. It consists of 13-hour-long episodes originally broadcast on ITV.
13-hour-long?
No, 13.
Yeah.
Hour-long.
Oh, right. Okay.
Got it? So it aired on 13th of September and went all the way to the 6th of December, 1980.
Okay.
I only had one season.
Yep.
And the cool thing about this is they're kind of like mini movies, and they're all on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So this one I watched is called Rude Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the story is there's this dude. He's like a British gentleman, you know, like the bad teeth and all. Sorry, Matt Wood. And Kate. But he has these nightmares, and in these nightmares, things happen. Not like Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
But like, he just thinks that he's living his day-to-day life,
mm-hmm.
but he's actually having a nightmare.
Oh, okay.
So every time something interesting happens, he's actually having a nightmare. And it gets to this point where, and I can't really say because it's a massive spoiler, it gets to the point where he doesn't have a nightmare. Mm. And he does things because he assumes he's having a nightmare.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
This was actually pretty interesting, man. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed it. It is very British.
Yeah.
So the whole, butter your scones with tea, sir. Stuff like that. If you are okay listening to that and watching that, I actually enjoyed this. I thought it was cool. And what's funny?
Did you say butter your scones with tea?
Butter your scones and tea.
Oh, okay.
Buttered scones and tea. That's what they say, right?
I thought you said butter your scones with tea.
I mean, you can. I'm sure British people do that. I don't know. I've never been to England. The cool thing about this Hammer House of Horror TV series is, like I said, they're all on YouTube, but I was doing some digging. There is a werewolf one, and there's like some haunted house ones.
Yeah.
So I might like just watch these on my lunch break because they go for an hour. I'll just take an extended lunch break, but but yeah, I want to see the werewolf one.
Okay.
See how the Brits do werewolves.
Yeah.
I mean, American Werewolf in London, one of the best, but
yeah,
that's mainly American, whatever. But yeah, I thought this was cool. Rude Awakening, it's called. It's on YouTube. If you are intrigued, go and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm classing this because I can put it on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
So I'm putting this in my list. You don't have to watch it, but...
Well, it still goes for an hour. It's a decent time.
Yeah, it's like a short movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the next one we're going to talk about is the one that Jaleesa was alluding to before. Her favorite one.
Yep.
It's called Night of the Demon.
There's fire, dearie, and Linda's going to stay up and watch it.
Oh, yeah, Linda's going to stay up and watch it. It's part of her job.
What?
Well, I'm afraid after tonight, someone is going to have to stand guard. We're already in Bigfoot territory, where all those people were killed.
Yep.
Why are you shaking your head? You really didn't like this one, did you?
No, not really.
So... not to be confused with Night of the Demons from 1988. You know, the one with Linnea Quigley putting the lipstick in her tit?
Yep.
Yeah, no, this one is just Night of the Demon. So only one demon, not multiple.
That title doesn't even go with it either. It's silly.
I love how angry you are.
It's totally misleading.
So the story of this is... it's basically Bigfoot.
Yeah.
A Bigfoot slasher movie, pretty much.
It's like a human Bigfoot.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, Bigfoot, who knows if he is human?
Yeah, who knows?
Just a dirty old hobo in the woods that's 8 foot tall. That's the majority of the story. It's this research team,
They're like college professor and students.
Yeah, yeah, college people.
Yeah.
Going to explore the woods because they heard about this Bigfoot creature and they want to try and prove its existence.
It must relate to something they're studying in college for them to do this sort of topic.
Cryptozoology. If that's a real subject, I want to fucking sign up.
Well, I guess because Bigfoot's an animal.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. You know the thing about cryptozoology, and I actually listened to a podcast about this, because I was always under the assumption that it was like, oh, finding Bigfoot and Loch Ness.
Yeah.
No. It's finding like new species of bacteria and different things like that. Yeah, it's actually not as interesting as I once thought. I mean, they can't really get funding for Bigfoot.
No.
Who knows? But, yeah, and obviously after these college kids go to the woods, they are confronted by a Bigfoot creature. So this was one of the horror movies banned in the UK during the video nasties craze of the 80s.
Mm.
Do you know what the video nasties are?
No.
You have no idea? Never heard of it before?
I don't think so.
Okay, so this was very present in the 80s.
Yep.
Right? The video nasties is a term popularized by the National Viewers and Listeners Association called NAVLA.
Okay.
In the United Kingdom, to refer to a number of films, typically low-budget horror or exploration films distributed on video cassette that were criticized for their violent content by the press, social commentators, and various religious organizations in the early 80s. Mainly in the early 80s, but there was a lot of 70s as well.
Mm-hmm.
Movies in this video nasties list are... There's like 76 or something like that. But the big ones that you'd know are The Burning. Have you seen The Burning?
I don't know. I don't know if I have.
That's for 1981. Okay. We'll get to that. Cannibal Holocaust.
Yep.
I Spit on Your Grave. Last House on the Left. And even The Evil Dead.
Really?
Was a video nasty. Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
What, the original?
Yeah, the original.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I'm going to give the floor to Jaleesa because she's been chomping at the bit to talk about how much she hated this movie. So, go on. Night of the Demon, Jaleesa's take.
The acting was horrible. There was a lot of choppy change editing crap that just cuts to one thing and then another and then back again. And then you're like, what the fuck's happening? And, the story was just weird as fuck.
Honey, we're talking about Night of the Demon, not yeah. Friday the 13th.
Oh. Ho, ho.
Boom. Shots fired. Continue.
That's all I've really got to say.
I don't
really know what else to say about it.
I'll agree with you that acting wasn't great.
And the choppy cutting and going to this, going to that.
That didn't bother me as much.
Really?
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is happening?
I didn't find it as choppy as you did.
I did. It was horrible. And like that tent scene, and then it shines to a completely different dude in the sun, and then it shoots back to nighttime. Well, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. There were times where the editing was a bit weird. But the same can be said about Mother's Day. There was a scene where a girl screams and has blood on her, and then the next scene is someone next to her getting her head chopped off. Like, why does she have blood on her already?
That was one.
Okay.
This one had multiple.
Okay. I appreciated this movie.
Mm.
I'll agree it's not great. It is very low budget. But I did read on Letterboxd a lot of people saying this is the best Bigfoot movie ever, and I disagree because it's not Harry and the Hendersons.
Really?
No, I can't remember that movie at all. It's like my favorite Bigfoot movie is probably Exists.
Yeah.
By Eduardo Sanchez. But this one, I don't know. I appreciated what they did. They obviously had a low budget.
Mm-hmm.
It had kills in it. It has a shocking kill featuring a penis.
Oh, there it go.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Try not to do a spoiler.
Yeah, so you see a dick in this movie.
Yeah, I was surprised with that, actually. I was like, whoa, you usually see titties, but not dick usually.
Yeah, the 80s were a good time. You'll see number of dicks throughout the 80s.
Yeah. They didn't shy away.
Are you okay with that? Looking at dicks?
Yeah, well, you get to watch titties all the time. It's about time I get to see something.
That's fair. I'm always for the camp of saying give the people more dicks.
Yeah.
Just for the girls. We get, I mean, not these days. There's no fucking titties ever in horror anymore.
No.
But, like, yeah, the 80s. Like, I watched four, and every single one of these had titties.
Yeah.
So.
All the other, wait. Did that other one we watch?
Yes.
It did?
She was in the shower.
Ah, yes.
Yep. Every single one that we watched this week had titties in them.
Yeah.
So it's only fair that the girls get a dick here and there.
I think the 80s had a trend.
Fucking oath, it did. That's why the 80s is the best decade, because
they didn't hold back. They didn't care.
Yeah, they had fun.
Yeah.
They're like, look at our tits and look at our gore.
Yeah.
And hear our cool music. You want Billy Idol while looking at tits? There you go.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Exactly. So I kind of enjoyed this. I definitely enjoyed this more than you. Yes. But I don't agree that it's the best Bigfoot movie. What did you think about the creature, though?
He looked scarier from a distance. But when you're seeing him up close at the end, it's like, oh, what the fuck is that? What's this?
Yeah. He's a dirty hobo.
It's like he had too much lip filler. Look, and he got botched.
He doesn't look humanoid.
He looks definitely, I was going to say reptile. That's not right. What are those caveman people? What are they called?
Reptiles?
No. Shut up. Caveman-y looking.
There is a word.
Bigfoot.
Not mongoloid.
No. There's a name for him.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Now you put me on the spot. I can't think. You know what we're saying. The big eyebrows.
Yes.
Yeah. It did look caveman-y.
Yeah.
Like that. Fuck, now I cannot. It's on the tip of my tongue and I cannot think of it.
I've stumped you, have I?
Yeah, you have. Anyway, it does. Look, for a low budget movie, you got to admit that this movie, one, had cool creature effects.
Yeah. This one also had rape in it too.
It did, but it's by a creature, so that's okay.
So what, that doesn't count?
Yeah.
That's sicker.
Yeah, but like the creature doesn't know what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
How do you know?
A bullshit. He knew where to stick it.
Yeah, but like that's an animalistic thought.
He knew exactly what he did.
He was doing it to impregnate.
I know where you're going. Yeah. So he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, but he didn't do it as an act of violence, I don't think. It'd be like if a bear raped me. He'd probably be thinking, more babies, more babies. You know? He wouldn't be thinking, oh, look at this sexy piece of ass. I'm just going to fuck it.
But we will never know.
I hope not. I hope not to get raped by a bear. And by bear, I mean the animal bear, not...
Not a man bear.
Not people walking around the city streets. That, yeah. Anyway, Night of the Demon from 1980. I thought this was better than Mother's Day. I appreciated it better. Still not... It's not going to be in my top 10.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we watched it. I had fun watching this with you. So for that, I'm giving it a 6 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
What are you giving it?
3.
Fuck off. 3 out of 10.
Yeah. Jeez. This is definitely not a rewatch for me.
Okay. Well, sucks to be you because that's what we're doing tonight.
Fuck no. You're watching it on your own.
All right. A little bit of trivia about Night of the Demon. Most of the kill scenes in the film were shot and added into the film by the producer, Jim Ball, unbeknownst to the director, James Wasson, at the time, whose original version contained little to no gore.
Oh, yeah, much better. Lucky he did.
Agreed. All right, and the last movie that we got a chance to watch, and this is my clear favourite of the four, we watched Fade to Black from 1980.
Yep.
Twinkle, twinkle, movie star. Eric knows just where you are. Try to run, try to hide. You won't get out of this alive. Dennis Christopher in Fade to Black. Rated R.
Fade to Black now playing at a theater near you.
Would you like to explain what this movie is about?
It's about a young man who, I don't know how to explain it.
Okay. It's about this young man who, I'm just teasing you. No, I'm just teasing you. It's about a dude who's utterly obsessed with movies.
Yeah.
Much like us and everyone listening.
Mm.
But to the point where that this is his life.
I think he's much a like bit me. More than us.
No, he's basically me.
Mm. No.
That's all I think about.
You still go to work, though.
He did, too.
Not the end.
Okay. So he's obsessed with movies, but he gets bullied by various different people.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, everyone likes to screw this guy.
Yeah.
And this is a psychological horror,
mm-hmm.
mind you. He snaps, basically, and gets revenge on these people by portraying different characters from films he loves.
And then I think he finds it hard to think what's movie and what's reality.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
He basically snaps. This was, for me, a really good movie.
Mm.
I fucking loved this movie. I had a really good time with this movie. I really, really enjoyed it. Jaleesa?
I actually really enjoyed this one as well.
There we go.
I did, yes.
We agree. This one is probably going to be in my top 10. My redone top 10. I know I've already done a top 10 of 1980, but this is my redone one where I watch all of them. But this is going to be in it because this is really good. You got to give it up for the actor.
Yeah, he did a really good job.
And I'm just quickly searching his name. Dennis Christopher, who played Eric Binford in this, did a phenomenal job.
Mm-hmm.
You could see it just in facial features, facial expressions, him snapping and him just losing control.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a marvelous job. Marvelous job. Do you know who else is in this movie?
Who?
Gwyn Gilford. Don't know who Gwyn Gilford is?
No.
Do you know who else is in this movie?
Who?
Chris Pine.
That name sounds familiar.
He's in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's in Jurassic World.
Yeah? Which one was he?
He... I mean, technically he's in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's not in the credits. But...
Okay.
Gwyn Gilford is his mum. And she was pregnant with him at the time that they were filming.
Oh.
Yep.
That's the one in the wheelchair, right?
No, she's the cop.
Oh.
The girl cop. That's Chris Pine's mum.
Okay.
Hmm. Yep. So, and she was pregnant with Chris Pine
mm-hmm.
while shooting this movie. So technically, Chris Pine is in this movie. You can say.
If you want to think of it like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I thought this was fantastic. I said to Jaleesa once we were done that I would love to see a redone version of this where, because most of the characters that he portrays in this are from the 30s all the way to the 50s.
Yeah.
Characters that you know, I don't want to spoil what characters he comes up as.
Yeah.
But I thought this would be really cool done in now times. You could do like him dressed as Freddy.
Mm.
Or, I don't know, things like that.
Mm.
But there's so much more to this movie than just what he dresses up as.
Yeah. I think he did a really good job portraying the psycho side, like of the snap.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And then we got to talk about the characters he dresses up as, because two of them are fucking creepy.
Mm.
I don't want to say what, but he wears masks.
Yeah.
Do you know which ones I'm talking about?
I remember one.
Yeah. I don't want to say it.
And then
I'll tell you one. He portrays Hopalong Cassidy, who's a cowboy.
Yep. That's the one I was thinking.
Okay. The other one's a Universal monster.
Ah. That was remember? A mask, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he just...
No, yeah, no. That's a mask. No, but it was really cool how he turned to these characters, and you could see him kind of going into these characters. It wasn't just, oh, I'm going to play this character tonight. It kind of happened by happenstance, where he was watching the movie and it would just like turn on him.
And he really thought he was that character in that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this movie is really great, and it comes with an ending that kind of surprised me, because you're watching this movie and you're like, I'm enjoying this. But then it turns to like an emotional side where you felt sorry for him.
Yeah.
And then the ending happens, and like with the music playing, I'm like, I'm not going to cry. Fuck you.
Did you cry?
No, I didn't. But like, it was heartfelt.
Yeah.
It hit you in the feels a little bit. And you felt for this guy because everyone was just a dick to him.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to live his life. And he seemed like he had like his head above the cloud and he was happy and all that stuff. But you never know what's going through someone's mind.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
He was never treated very well.
No, no. So this one is really good. You can rent this on Apple TV for $4.99. I would honestly like to buy this one.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it that much.
Okay.
This is definitely a highlight of 1980.
Yeah.
This movie here. I think it's definitely worth a purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving this an 8.5 out of 10.
Okay. I'll go on 8.
Okay. The only reason it's not higher for me is because they feature this side story with these two police. Well, one's a police and one's like a psychiatrist dude. And they never really do much with them. Quite honestly, you could have taken that whole story out and the movie wouldn't have changed much.
Just brought him in at the end.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Beyond that, like, the movie's excellent and definitely worth a watch. But there was just that one part that I was like, I don't understand what you're doing with this side story.
Yeah.
But anyway, Fade to Black, really, really good. Definitely worth a vision. A visit. A bit of trivia here. Dracula from 1958.
Yeah.
Which was a Hammer horror film.
Mm-hmm.
Were used during the Dracula scenes.
Yeah.
So I'm just giving away one of the fucking characters he portrays. Sorry. So Dracula from 1958, which was Hammer horror's version of Dracula, gave this film permission to use snippets of their movie in this movie.
Oh, okay.
Where Universal Studios denied permission for the filmmakers to use Dracula from 1931.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dick. That's not cool.
No. Because you do see a lot of footage from other movies in this movie.
Yeah.
And one of those footages was from Hopalong Cassidy from 1952.
Yep.
And the use of Hopalong Cassidy footage resulted in William Boyd Enterprises suing the makers of this movie for $15 million, as they deemed the use of the clips unauthorized.
Oh, so they used it without getting...
Which...
That's a big risk.
Yeah, it is. Really big risk. The whole copyright thing annoys me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because...
They're showing a part of that movie, then they might want to be like, oh, I want to see that movie.
Exactly.
Which brings people to it.
Exactly. I've never heard of Hopalong Cassidy until this movie.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I want to go and watch Hopalong Cassidy, but now I know about Hopalong Cassidy.
Yeah. I get your point.
Take a shot every time I say Hopalong Cassidy. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I get why they did it, but at the same time, it's like, well, you're bringing new eyes to your product.
Yeah.
But whatever. Fade to Black is my movie of this episode. Jaleesa, what's your movie of this episode?
Fade to Black as well.
Yeah, we go. Do you reckon this movie will be in your top 10 by the end of the year?
I have no idea. We're going to be watching a hell of a lot of movies.
We are.
Are you just holding a spot for it?
Oh, no. I liked it that much that it's definitely...
Definitely going to be in there?
Yeah.
What if you end up watching ones that are better?
Then it won't be my number one. It will be my number three or seven or something.
Okay.
Let's just see
What if you watch 10 more that you think is better?
Well, then it will be a good fucking year. 10 more that are better than 8.5 out of 10?
Yeah.
Four. So, like... Obviously, we've both seen some of these movies.
Yeah.
And we don't have to rewatch the ones that we know back to front.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, some of the movies that came out in 1980, we've got Cannibal Holocaust. We've got The Shining, which I can live without rewatching that movie.
I don't overly understand that one.
Yeah, it's...
It's weird.
Friday the 13th, the original, which I can live without rewatching that movie.
Yeah.
The Fog.
Oh, yeah. I've only watched that once.
You have. Mm. I've seen it countless times. I love it.
Okay.
City of the Living Dead, which made my top 10 originally for this 1980s. Motel Hell, which was fun. The Changeling. We've got City of the War. Oh, Nightmare City, sorry. Inferno. Humanoids from the Deep. That one's great. That's fun. Maniac.
Yeah.
Terror Train. What else we got? The Children. House at the Edge of the Park. Without Warning. Contamination, which is pretty cool. I did like that movie. Prom Night. Alligator. Alligator's fucking unreal.
Yeah.
That one's cool.
These are all 80s?
These are all from 1980.
Okay.
Yeah. Nightmares, which, funny enough, this movie Nightmares.
Yeah.
Never heard about it before. And one of our listeners, Zim Vader, hi Zim, sent me a clipping of a drive-in theater in where we're living.
Where we're living?
Yeah.
What, like down here?
Yeah, back in the 80s, there used to be a driving theater in the suburb that we're living in.
Oh.
And the poster read, playing tonight, Nightmares, followed by Psycho 2.
Oh, wow.
And he asked me, he's like, what's this Nightmares movie? And I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And then he did the research and said, oh, it's from 1980.
Mm.
I'm like, perfect. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was playing in our suburb.
Wow.
Back in the 80s.
I find it crazy there was a drive-in theater here.
I know, and now I'm annoyed. Why did
they get rid of it?
Because drive-in theaters don't really exist anymore. Which I don't get, really. Like,
you sit in your own car away from people.
I know.
Like,
you can get a hand job.
What more do you want?
A hand job. Oh, Death Ship is from this year. You're going to have to watch a lot of Italian horror during this.
From the 80s?
Yeah. There was a lot. Some of it's pretty good. Like, City of the Living Dead is Italian.
Yeah.
But it's really good.
Have to read subtitles?
No, they're all dubbed in English.
Okay.
So,
that's good, because the reading takes me out sometimes.
Yeah, no, I get that. That's fine. What we're also going to do, what I kind of want to do, is explore not just horror, but maybe every now and then, I'm not promising and everything, maybe every now and then we could watch some non-horror stuff from the 80s that is a blind spot for us, that most people have seen. For example, Aeroplane from 1980. It's, what's that?
Is that that cover where it's twisted?
I can't remember.
I can see the cover in my head if I'm thinking of it.
It's got that funny guy in it who's now dead. What's his? Leslie Nielsen.
I'd need to see the cover
work
to know.
Yeah. The Blues Brother. Oh, Blues Brothers.
Never seen it.
I was listening to their soundtrack the other day.
Mm.
That's a 1980s movie I'd like to watch.
Okay.
That would be fun. But yeah, I thought we could do other movies other than horror if we have time. Obviously, I'm not going to watch The Empire Strikes Back. I've already seen it countless times, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, 9 to 5, Stir Crazy. Trying to see what movies came out in the 1980. And Google is just being a dick. The Blue Lagoon. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, Twisted Plane.
Aeroplane, Star Wars, Blues Brothers, Cannibal Holocaust, of course. Caddyshack is one I've heard. Raging Bull with Robert De Niro. Oh my God, The Elephant Man. We should watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Popeye. Superman 2, no thanks. 9 to 5, Smokey and the Bandit, Ride Again. The Fog, obviously. American Gigolo. Look, we're not short of
stuff to watch. I think we've got enough on our plate at the moment.
I do really want to watch Blues Brothers, though.
Okay.
Because I love the soundtrack. But I think it'll be fun. Obviously, we're going to do rewatches on things. And if we don't rewatch The Shining, we can just say our piece about The Shining on another episode.
Yeah.
But this is basically our new spin-off show, Devour the 80s. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun experiment. And feel free to join along and watch some 80s horror movies. Give us your input on the movies that we watched. Give us your input on the 80s as a whole. Do you hate it? Do you love it? All that good stuff in between. But this is going to be fun. I'm enjoying watching these 80s films and reliving my childhood in a way.
Yeah.
Even though I was not born in the 80s, but I watched a lot of 80s.
Well, you were 87, but you were
not old enough to experience it.
Yeah.
Which sucked. I was born in the wrong decade.
You want to be born in the 70s?
Yes.
To experience the 80s?
Or the 60s. That way it would have been like 1820 in the 80s. Mm. I don't have to worry about saying various words.
Well, go and ask stories from our parents.
Yeah,
sure, they'll give you heaps.
It sounded like fun. Our parents would be like, oh, we went to the pub on this Saturday night in the 80s and saw AC/DC playing. And now we have to pay $200 to see AC/DC playing.
Yeah.
It's not fair. Anyway, guys, that's it for Devour the 80s. I hope you enjoy it. If you have any suggestions, please feel free to let us know. If you liked the show, if you hated it, if you think we're dumb for doing this, then let us know. All feedback is fun.
Yeah.
And we're going to get stuck in to the next lot of 80s movies that we'll be watching. This show will be coming out fortnightly, I must mention. So in between the weeks that we don't do Dummies of Horror, we'll be releasing one of these episodes. And yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically all we got to say.
Yeah.
So until next time, I was trying to think of a cool, catchy slogan to end it off. I'll get it next time. Bodacious.
Thank you for listening to Devour the 80s. Join us next time as we feast on more 80s horror.